Well, good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. So good to be home in His presence. Praise God with you all. And just so thankful for another privilege to come into the presence of the King of Glory. Amen. Amen. What unspeakable privilege we have, this bold access to the blood of the Lamb, to partake of His glory. Praise God. And I believe He has a word for us tonight. Let's believe God together. Amen. Father, we do thank You for the bold access into Your presence, Lord. We stand here as Your sons and daughters, and Lord, we just say, who am I in my house, Father, that You brought us this far? And as we stand here today, Lord, in these perilous times, Lord, in times of defection and apathy and lukewarmness that's the norm on every side, we tremble in Your presence, Lord, and cry out that Your fear would ever be, Lord, that treasure of our lives. And Father, we just need that word from heaven, Lord God. We don't want the words of just doctrine or of a man, but we want to hear that voice from heaven speaking to us. So give us eyes that see and ears that hear, Lord, for our own hearts first. God, that we would be found prepared at Your appearing and not ashamed, but we would be standing faithfully, Lord, with our loins girded and our lamps burning, Lord. Father, just prepare us in this hour to stand, and we'll fail not to give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Such a blessing to see you all. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me tonight to Psalm 62. Hallelujah. Always good to be back with you. So thankful for the precious times of refreshing. I know just the hours with Pastor and all the other pastors and Pastor Rob and Pastor Ford, just such an unspeakable blessing and privilege. And I believe the Lord is doing something special in this hour, and so thankful for how far He's brought us. And yet how many here tonight believe there's much more land to be possessed? And I thank God for the testimonies of what He's done just these years, and just walking with Father. And I know so many of you as fellow sojourners and servants in the kingdom, you look at what we've tasted of His presence, and we can be overwhelmed just recounting the testimonies of the Lord in our lives. Amen? I mean, just think of where the Lord's brought us from. Think of what He's brought us through. And if you're in the fire today, just think of what He's going to do, praise God. And I want to talk some tonight about the power of God. And I know I've spoken in different times, but I can't get away from this. And as Pastor was sharing with us over lunch, and we were fellowshipping, I was sharing some of what's been in my spirit and the other men, and I was talking to them some about, we'd been preaching on the gifts of the Spirit and teaching some on it, and the fellowship and the baptism and the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. And, you know, he just asked to go ahead and share some of that. And, you know, when I began to think about the gifts of the Spirit, my mind went to, as I've been studying, you know, of just, you can read it on your own time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. But, you know, for those of you that are students of the Word, you know that you'll see that word italicized there when it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you. Language, when you look there, it's a Greek word, pneumatikos, and it deals with things emanated from the divine spirit. You'll find in certain lexicons, it just talks about the spirituals, divinely supernatural, or that which is pertaining to, caused by, or filled with and it uses the divine spirit. We simply can say the Holy Spirit. And it connotates very specifically the invisibility of it and of it and of the nature of its power or the nature of power. And so it's speaking of things emanating from the Spirit, exhibiting its effects and so its character. And I want us to think when we talk about the power of God tonight and the power of God in our lives and more importantly, how can I know more of the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders and miracles and most of all, as we're going to see in Exodus 34, when Moses cried out for the Lord to show him his glory, that revelation of his nature. You know, when we talk about the power of God, we somehow have had a way in the church of dissecting it somewhat from the nature of God. But the power of God really is just flashes and glimpses. And even as you would look at the definition, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we're just talking about glimpses into the nature of God, the mind of God, the power of God, the divine wisdom or workings of God, that he just gives us a glimpse, just that the Holy Spirit just falls upon you in a supernatural way, and whether it's a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, the working of miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, discerning of spirits, whatever it may be, it really just becomes that momentary where God just opens our eyes into the spirit realm. And he anoints us in that moment to move in the supernatural and the miraculous in a way that is not only not natural, that the carnal man could never know or perceive, but we're talking also about something that none of your study, none of your pursuit, none of our fasting, praying, disciplines, the precepts in our lives that the Lord has wrought in us through his word, which are all have their value and their importance, but none of those can supply. So when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural, we're talking that which transcends all of our pursuit, transcends all of our personal endeavors and diligence, and it's just something that is miraculous. It is something that we had absolutely no capability to in our natural pursuit of God or in our inherent pursuit of God, even as born-again believers. And I want us to look at this a bit as we talk about the power of God, because when we talk about it being glimpses and reflections as the spiritual gifts are, flashes of God's mind and wisdom and power in our lives and his workings, we realize they become just expressions of his nature and character. We've so focused on the power itself that we fail to realize that the gifts of the Spirit were practically meeting needs, supernaturally, divinely. And we are in an hour in the church that we have become so mechanical. We have become so dependent upon our own disciplines and knowledge and doctrine and an ability to apply scriptures and speak scriptures and in a, at large, a church that would be focusing so much on sermons and Bible knowledge and with all the access to information and Bible studies and helps and all of this knowledge that's so accessible to us. Just all of the Christian media and all of these things. And I want to take time for us to reflect tonight, just that there would be an expectation and a rekindling of the hunger and that zeal, that desire for the supernatural, the miraculous. You know, that spirit that was in Abraham, I don't want a shoe latchet of what you have to offer. Can we lay hold of such a zeal? I don't want a shoe latchet of my own strength. I don't want it to be said that any of this, I don't want it in my own mind and heart, that any of this was done of my own strength and my own hand and power. I want to be able to stand in this hour again and say, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we're standing in a day of great adversity. We're standing in a day of powers of darkness against the church that I think Satan is full well content to allow all of the flow of biblical information and knowledge if it'll keep us away from the true power of God. And I would challenge us tonight that one of our greatest reasons for the lack of power in the church is the lack of hunger for His presence. Oh, we want religion. We want to come into church. We enjoy even our disciplines. We live off of, you know, the aura and sometimes the deceiving power of finding our worth and our giving and things that we do one for another horizontally. And we're not in any way diminishing from the value of that we ought to be careful to maintain good works. Amen. And we understand all the value of that. But there can be a deceptiveness that we're living off of that, but there's not a hunger for Him and His presence and the contentment even to be on the outer courts. We love the burnt altar of burnt offerings. And aren't you thankful for that, for the forgiveness of our sins? Praise God, man. We hug that thing daily, you know. And we need that altar. And it was in the outer courts. And we may be content to go to that lavern and to wash us from the daily dirt of this world. And that's good, amen. Don't you appreciate that? And you just get that daily washing. And others of us would be content with that. The forgiveness of sin, get me a little bit of a daily wash and I'm good. But how many here want to press into the holiest of all? How often have we forfeited and sacrificed the opportunity to come into the Holy of Holies and we're just content to be on the outer courts and a lot of time because we've got places to go and things to do. And it's just easier to visit the altar for sacrifice and the laver to wash ourselves and then just roll back out into the world and get to do what now is the entanglements and the distractions and the attractions and the things of this life that rob us. The lies and the vanity of this world that entangle our hearts and blind our eyes from the riches of His glory And we can be living off of the ease of this life and calling it the peace of God or the joy of the Lord and the blessings of God, but we're not really entering into the Holy of Holies. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And when we talk about this, when I read of these holy men in the book and we see here in Psalm 62 where the Holy Spirit is here speaking and just what He says. And I'm sorry, why don't we read Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God, and early will I seek Thee, and my soul thirsts for Me, and my flesh longs for You in this dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Your power and Your glory as I've seen in the sanctuary. Because Your loving kindness is what? Is it really? Is knowing His nature, just knowing that glory that's in His presence that nothing else can compare to. There's just nothing that feeds us and satisfies our souls. We can study the scriptures. We can gain answers and expand our knowledge and doctrine. We can give of ourselves to all the good works and activities. But there's nothing that can fill our souls like the rivers of the pleasure of the presence of His majesty. But honestly, sometimes we are just selling it out for something so much cheaper and less. And I'm not preaching at you, man. I'm preaching to myself first and you, praise God. But I'm telling you, we're just in an hour that when we look at what Satan is doing and how he stripped the church of its power in this hour, by and large. I mean, when I went back into the city of Buffalo and being gone out of there for 30-something years and I went back in there, it just reminded me of something like a Holocaust in the spirit realm. I couldn't believe I was in the same place. Have you ever seen some of the images like of a Hiroshima, the bodies of what actually takes place in a nuclear explosion? It's pretty... So, you know, where flesh is just melting and just the destruction and no help and nowhere to go. And in the spirit realm, just the loss of the power of God, the loss of a hunger for God, the pollutions of false doctrine and idolatry in the church. And you just look at this, but what stood out is the loss of hunger. And more of a defensiveness to find ways biblically to push the power of God out of the church rather than a hungering to get it in. We're trying to find ways out of these things and the manifestations and when I encountered that, I just was wondering, and we can look at that and say, well, praise God, we've got the gifts of the Spirit moving, and we've seen some of the manifestations of God, but saints of God, there's so much more. There is so much more. And when I see this heart's cry and longing, I just wanted you to see, because... See, we've wanted the power, but it's not been out of right motive. We've wanted the power at times like Simon the sorcerer who thought the gift of God could be purchased, and I like this, and he used to move in the supernatural. We've had those that may have seen the power out of right motive and we may have tasted of it, but then, you know, we can begin to rob that glory. And it's not out of a pure desire. It's not out of a pure motive. And I just want you to get in your notes, there's two main things that the Holy Spirit, I believe, would quicken to us of the loss of the power of God in our lives. And I don't want to just say the church. I want to say in our lives. Amen? My life. I like Pastor Joseph in Kakamega. Whenever he reads the Bible, he reads it. Now Joseph, my prayer is that Joseph would see your power and Joseph would see your glory. As Joseph has seen, I like that. Every whatever, I'm an ignorant and unlearned, especially in English, whatever that thing is, a pronoun or what and what, you know. It's Joseph, hallelujah. You put yourself in that. And when I see this, he says, because your loving kindness is better than this life. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 years. Is it to you? Has it been today? That's great. That's a great inspirational devotional. Amen. You know, that's a great verse. But am I really willing to suffer for that? Am I willing to die for that? I mean daily, am I willing to, in the midst of all of the demands and the needs and the activities, to not let that treasure be stolen. I like one man of God. He just said, that time in the secret of His presence, you guard that thing like an armed soldier to not let it be stolen from you. The secret of His presence, amen. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you just abide in His presence, and that loving kindness is better than life. And so He said, I long to see your power and glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. It's the power are just manifestations of His loving kindness and His mercy and His goodness and His provision for us. It's not about the power, it's about our God. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Amen. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands me and he knows me, praise God. And he goes on to talk about his loving kindness and his mercies and his justice and judgment. Do you see how we've separated the power from the nature of God? It's like we want power. We almost want to know power and worship power as a separate entity from God. But the scripture tells us here in Psalm 62, as we look here very clearly, that verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard, that power belongs to who? Power belongs to God. To know the power of God, I've got to know God. Amen. You want to know the power of God in your life? Are you tired of just going through the motions and hoping one day, or just writing it off as, for whatever reason, unattainable in your life? Power belongs to God. If we can just know Him more, we'll know the power of God in our lives. That I'm convinced. And so, we're not glorying in the power. Let him that glories glory in the Lord, amen? So the glory and the delight, the desire for the power of God is the fruit of knowing God. When I can get into the holiest of all, I'm going to know the power of God. I'm going to know the nature of God. I'm going to know the heart and the mind of God. And you can't be in His presence and not walk away empowered. Amen. Hallelujah. They were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. When Stephen was just full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and serving just on widows' tables, but so full of the Holy Ghost that his face shone like an angel. You know, when you press into that presence, you can know that glory. And I've tasted of it sometimes, and I'm sure, quite certain, if you've walked with God, you've known that power. I've seen it where it became so tangibly real that it began to emanate, that there's a literal glow and glory that can begin to just manifest in this natural realm. I remember years ago on the west side of Buffalo working in a factory, and we were so poor at the time. I was working in this day job service. I don't know what it's called, but I used to call it a rent-a-bum service, and you know, because that's about all that was there. And you know, you'd get up at 4:30 in the morning and spend time in prayer, and you got the kids and you're just living to survive, and get on that city bus and go downtown and walk across downtown Buffalo with just swirling winds and sub-zero through, you know, several feet of snow, and to the other side of the downtown, and get there and sit in this little smoke-clouded room of people possessed of demons and just drunkards and just the lowest of the low from a natural standpoint. And there's nothing to do. You just wait for hours and hours and hope that you could get a day's work. I remember putting in applications as if I could have just got a job at McDonald's. I mean, a real job. I mean, where you got real hours. And that's how bad and collapsed the economy was. And I can just remember, and there was nothing to do but pray and commune with God. And I can remember just the season, there was, the work was so little, you'd spend 3 to 4 out of those 5 days a week just communing with God and praying and then just speaking when God would tell you to speak and just the manifest presence that came. I can remember just sitting there and doing nothing but reading and fellowshipping with God and men just cry out and scream and come up in my face and, why are you reading that book? And just convicted of the Holy Ghost and be able to share the gospel with them. And I remember pushing this metal cart towards this corridor in this factory and you're just praying in the Holy Ghost and seeking God and God began to move on hearts in this factory. And I remember the one day I was sitting there and the Lord just, I didn't have money for lunch, so I would just pray and read there in the lunchroom and the Lord just said, stand up right now and read the Great White Throne Judgment. And I mean, this is like a factory of oppressed people, this a mass of people, and just called everyone to attention. And I said, I have something to share with you from the living God. And you know, at first they're just kind of ignoring, and I just with a loud voice began to read the Great White Throne Judgment to that whole place was just stopped and silent. And the fear of God just fell on that place. Now, I wish I could tell you I walk in this every day. I wish I could tell you that I've known this. And as I was pushing this big dumpster down the hall, and there was this elderly man that was dodging me. He was so convicted. And as I came closer and I'm pushing this big metal bin, I just stopped for a minute. And I got around the other side because I'm looking at him. And as he's approaching me, he just came. And the closer he got, he started shaking and he just fell down. And he just cried out, pray for me. I'm lost. I'm lost. And you're just praying in the middle of this factory and just, the man is just weeping and broken. I want to know that power more. And I know maybe you don't have that testimony, but you've seen times where the power of God has flown, has moved through your hands. Can somebody say amen? God has used you mightily at times. There has been times where those testimonies of the Lord, they're in your life. And I just would challenge us today, if that power belongs to God and that power, the spirituals, follow after love and desire the spiritual gifts, desire the spirituals, the power of God, the manifestations and the effects of His Holy Spirit in us and signs and wonders and miracles. Just what Stephen did, perhaps the greatest miracle of all, of just standing there with all boldness and saying, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. And just pours out his life being stoned to death and just crying out, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And they laid down their garments at the feet of a man named Saul. And we can only fathom what might have been going on in that man's mind and how the Holy Ghost would deal with him in the days ahead. But I look at this and we're just in an hour where because we've been content in the outer courts and the church by and large, and even our lives here, when we become so occupied in the things of this life. You know, you just look at all the social media and the internet and all that it pulls us into, and as much as I know that you're a disciplined people and a people that know these things. But I can't help but to see the vexation on this generation. I've had the privilege of the fifth decade to walk in the kingdom in five different decades, and you see just what happens in the church. And you're sitting there and you're crying, God, where is the God of Elijah? Lord, make known your power again. And at times you feel like you're back in Nazareth again. There could be no dunamis there because of their unbelief. And that unbelief isn't always, well, I don't believe God can do it. And, oh, we got the right doctrine. But if you're going to know that power, you have to be in His presence. We have to be in our knees. We have to be in prayer. We have to be united with the heart of God. We can do nothing of ourselves. I mean, when we look at all that Jesus demonstrated, the works that I do, they're not mine, but what? The Father's. Hitherto the Father works and I work. The power of God manifests when I'm just walking in fellowship and communion and in union with the heart. And we want the power, but we don't want to pay the price to walk in that intimacy. Because that takes death to self. That means all of the other idols of this life and distractions and again, just the deceptiveness of living off the satisfaction of what we do for one another, and we do not devalue that at all. This, if we love Him, we love the brethren, and we are commanded to lay down our lives one for another. But let's not forget, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for what? But to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. We need that salt in us, that seasoning that comes from His presence, praise God. Nothing that can empower and enable us. And I don't want to get bogged down. As we look on, we see that, you know, we've talked from just great examples that we have. And I was thinking in prayer of the men of God that are in this place that you have. I know just being around the pastors, what it's like to come back here. And you know, yesterday we just worked all day in the mud and just fellowshipping, and Pastor Rob was telling us what to do all day and leaning on a shovel. Well, he didn't have a shovel, but... And then Pastor Forbes was chopping on him all day. And I can remember standing in the mud. But you just look at, I thought to myself, where do you find men like this? Where do you find men that'll, I mean, these are men. Saints, let me just tell you, I've been in a few churches, okay? I've been in a few places. I've seen some stuff over the years. I don't claim to be, you know, some great, I'm just a former whatever in Africa and just seen a few places, but I've been in a few churches and I've been around men of God and so-called men of God. And I was just thinking, where do you find men of humility? And when you get around these men, I know sometimes you can be in all of this and you think, you know, well, if they knew what I was going through, and, you know, they just get to sit around and read their Bibles and pray all day and pray in tongues. And if I could do that, you know, I know you would never think that. Okay. You know. But you may have a friend that you're ministering to one day. And if I could just, you know, if I could just be like Pastor and sit in that chair and read and pray all day, oh, that would be the most awesome thing. And yet the warfare in the spirit realm and the burden of the Lord. Do you know what the burden of the Lord without the grace of God could crush a man? I wake up often 4 in the morning and I'll pray from 4 to 5:30 or 5 o'clock and just feeling the weight, the burdens of the flock and lives that are hanging in the balance. And so you just begin to pray and commune with God. And I'll sleep a little bit and get up, and then it's off to the races for another day. But I was just thinking, you know, here we are, we've got such access and opportunity of men that are standing before us that are men that have walked. When you talk to these men, they're men that they're talking constantly about being the debtor and how can I know more of him and how can I die more and you know, just when you hear their hearts, you're smitten and convicted. Every week, Pastor Jeff will send me a little update of what's going on here and the other pastors in Africa just to hear what's going on back at the fort, you know. And it's everything from, oh, the glories of the lunch, you know. And that's always just so refreshing when you're in Africa and in Buffalo, to be honest, you know. And I'm eating my rice and beans and Buffalo, and he's talking about the awesome lunch, you know. I gotta finish. He just got in the room. And so saith the Lord. But you know, you hear regularly just talking about, and the word was so good and it's so convicting. He wrote me the other week and just shared how he spent those days with Jamie and just said what an awesome time it was, just seeing and hearing the heart of God in Jamie and just how convicting it was to him. And I think to my God, where does it lead me? You know, and I look at your lives and I look at the men of God and you see their character and their ways and what we have access to and what we have opportunity for and we have all of this and we have the knowledge and we have the doctrine. But Jesus said when he spoke to the Sadducees, you do always err not knowing the scriptures nor what? The power of God. And we know why they didn't know, because we just seen that power emanates from his presence. It emanates from its throne. It emanates as the life of Jesus testifies by being in union with the heart of the Father. We haven't known the power because we haven't hungered for the inner courts. We're just too content to be on the outer courts and visit that altar of sacrifice and visit that lavern and wash ourselves up and get the sins forgiven and go back to the mud. I don't want to stop there. And some of us would delight in going in and offering some prayers, the incense inside the holy place. And that's special. And partake of the shoe bread. But I want to get into the holiest of all. Hallelujah. And with all of this the distractions, and I am thoroughly convinced that all of this is to distract us from his presence. It's part of running to and fro. We're just not doing it in vehicles as much as we are surfing all over the world. Tweeting and all of this stuff that goes on and just robbing us from getting into the holiest of all. And we're caught up with all of the manward things and we haven't known the power because we haven't been in the Holy of Holies. Ask yourself sincerely when you get alone in prayer, how often do I really reach the Holy of Holies? I mean that secret place of the Most High, where you are still, quiet, your soul has been weaned, and you know that He is God. And all the chatter and the noise of the world comes to a screeching halt, and you're silent before Him, and those arrows pierce our hearts. And many times We are not finding that holy of holies because we're afraid. We're guilty in our souls and we're not dealing with it. And we're afraid of what we're going to hear. And we don't want to always admit that, but that's what we're battling with sometimes. When you get into that holiest of holies, it can bring you to the dust. It can bring us to our knees. It brings you to where you're fearful to breathe in His presence. Because He's so holy. And we are unclean and undone. And a people of unclean lips and hearts, and our eyes now see the King in His glory. And there's nothing to do but to say, woe unto me. And yet He purges us with the coals of the altar. That is labor. That is travail. That is a war to pass through the troops of the enemy, the distractions of this life, the demands on every side. It takes absolute death to self to walk by the crowds of people that are pulling and demanding, people that are in need, to get into the secret of His presence. And sometimes our worship becomes more creature worship. Hello? It's creature worship. And even though it gains the praises and the favor of man, and yet we've lost we haven't touched, we haven't reached into the Holy of Holies. It's the price that it takes to get there that we're unwilling to pay. And sometimes it's the entanglements of this life, the idols and the strongholds that have been set up in our minds that we're not acknowledging and dealing with. And there's strongholds there that need to be torn down again and say, that is not my treasure. My treasure is His presence. My treasure is to behold Him as He is. My treasure is the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that treasure of His presence, no matter what the price, you'll run through the troop, you'll leap over the wall, whatever it takes, I've got to reach His presence. And it's sad, but it's so true that often it's not until there's catastrophe or there's something very serious going on in our lives and that we get desperate enough that we've got to reach that secret place of the Most High. And thank God for it, amen. Because it's Father's love for us, for whom the Father loves, He disciplines. And He saves us from our own selves. He saves us from our own self. We're sitting here kicking and wondering, why is all this going on? And He's just trying to get you back into His presence and into His heart and where you're now longing to know Him. And you can truly say your loving kindness is better than life. And a day in your courts is better than 1,000 years outside of it. And it's not just a sermon and a verse in your mind, but it is your life. And now you're back to again seeking the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God and setting your affections upon Him and not things on the earth. And there's nothing that has your heart more captured than for your life to be hid with Christ in God. You just want to be buried in Jesus, hallelujah. And all of the cords of the world, they just melt in His presence, hallelujah. Are those cords there? They'll be burned off in His presence. When you get there in the middle of the fire and the trials in your life, and when you finally reach that secret place, it may be painful. He may smite you. He may cut you, but He'll heal you and He'll renew you and He'll restore you and you'll mount up with wings as eagles again, that you run and you're not weary and you'll walk and you're not faint. Praise God. Are we willing to pay the price to get into the holiest of all? Saints, can you make it your treasure again? Can we begin to just press in and begin to put these things into our minds and begin to cry out, God, I want this to be the treasure. If we had time, and I'll just give you a few pieces quickly, but You can see so clearly when we look at this in Moses, that when the calamity hit the nation, all the idolatry, he's up on the mountain, and we know the story in Exodus 32, 33 and 34, and read it on your own time. But as the people erected their calves, and because Moses delayed his coming, and he comes down from that mountain and he sees all this, and the tablets are broken and the wrath of God is kindled against the people, and God says, step back and I'm going to consume them and I will make of you a great nation. But Moses didn't want greatness. Moses wanted God's glory. Amen. And a lot of times I think we haven't known the power of God because we've wanted our own greatness. But if you're going to taste of the power of God as Moses did, it's because we wanted him and his glory. You know, when you see in Psalm 100 and, oh, I never read Psalm 71. That's how I got on the pastors. To make known your power to this generation and the power to come. It literally means to make manifest or to be opposite of or to make it so glaringly apparent. And you can just write it in your notes, Psalm 71. And you know that verse. And I was sharing that from pastor's life and not only his life, but you know, the disciples, not above his master, but his disciples are like him. And that's why I was talking about the pastors in that segment. And we could have everything within us to want that power to be known. But if we are in Mark 6 with unbelief and we're not pressing into the presence, he could there do no dunamis. No mighty work there. How many times was Jesus there and he comes and all that unbelief and he just puts it out. And I fear and trembling, lest we be put out from his presence. Amen. When his glory is there and his glory is to be known, and that unbelief can't abide in his presence. He will not manifest himself in that presence of unbelief. And not just the overt, but there's no hunger. There's no thirst. We're so quick to run to everything we have, and we're in a society of insurance and money and credit cards and all of our means. We've just got so much means, and it's become a curse to us. It's cursed us from his presence. It's cursed us from our desperation. You read some of those old hymns that were written out of pain and fiery trials and just great loss to the natural mind and great tribulations. And I listen to some of the lyrics today, and it's just like, it's like they're singing in another language that I can't understand. I don't understand it. I know those that wrote songs that were birthed out of a love for his presence and a hope and a faith in him and in the face of adversity, but I think we've just become so fat in this society and we'd be deluded to think each and every one of us in this room, from the least to the greatest, we are being vexed daily by self-reliance and all of this abundance and everything that just robs us from that desperation for God. So I woke up early this morning and was just reading Pastor's devotional, and he just talked about that, of just that heart of that I wish I could find that intimacy, that desperation when things are not bad, but I have found that it just doesn't happen the same. And thank God for those God-ordained times. And not that we long for pain, but we do long to know him. And whatever it costs, we'll count all things but dung that we might know him. Count it dung. Hallelujah. Count it dung. And so as we're in pursuit of that, Moses just showed what demonstrates that his heart was for the glory. He said, Lord, if you destroy him, you know the story so well. What will the heathen say? They'll say you brought him out to the mountains to kill him, and what kind of name will that be for you, God? I would to God we could get some of that zeal. Look, this costs, yes, but we're jealous for God. We want to be like Elijah. I'm jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Look at what they're doing. They've killed your prophets. They're burning your altars. They've destroyed your altars. And here we are now, us as a people, just that numbered among that remnant of God. And if there was ever a day that there ought to be a people that are longing for that power to manifest, it ought to be us now and in this hour. And I think Satan is just buying out much of the church and letting them have all their religion and all their beautiful worship and oh, and hallelujah and smoke and all of the deep worship of God. And yet when you look for the substance of the power, that it can only be known through the cross. We can't know the power of God without the cross of both. Not trusting in our machinery, our methodology, our knowledge, but truly what he's effected, but then to know what's been effected through his cross can only be known through our cross by his grace. Amen. That can all be affected, but I'm not going to know anything unless I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross and follow him. And now, as I die daily, the life of Jesus becomes made manifest in this mortal body. Hallelujah. And so we die, but he lives. And so what we've seen with Moses is clearly he had a heart for the glory of God, Psalm 115 in verse 1, not unto us, but unto your name let there be glory. And I'm not talking about just robbing the glory when God does something. Go, okay, yeah, I know, we're not supposed to rob the glory. Okay, got your notes, good. I'm talking about being jealous for God. I'm talking about looking at this pitiful demonstration of the so-called church, the church falsely so-called. It is not the church, much in luck, much in by and by what we're seeing. That's not the church. Where's the holiness? Where's the union with his heart? Where's that relationship, as he would go on to say, as Moses would intercede for the people, that God spoke to him as a friend? Because his heart was united with the Lord, and his heart was for God's glory. And it's not about just fulfilling some doctrinal precept. It's that we long to make God known, and his power would be declared to the generation to come, and all of those that were around about us. And so Moses is then there, and you can write that in Exodus 32, 14. In Exodus 32 and verses 31 to 34, you've seen that intercession. And then he says, the Lord says, I'll send my angel. We know the story. And he says, if your presence doesn't go, I'm not going. I don't want power without your presence. What is that going to be for us? Power without your presence is nothingness to me. God, with all of the blessing and all these manifestations, if I lose your presence, I've lost my reason for being. I remember years ago when I was in Baltimore, I was so tired and worn out, and just all, we had about 30 guys living in that we were discipling in the church and all kind of thing, and I was just so weary and no gross, whatever gross sin would be. To me, all sin is gross, but whatever the terminology. But just let down my guard and just tired. And I mean, God visited me and just removed his presence. I have never been so terrified in my life. And in an hour later, when I cried out, it restored and praised. And it went for 4 hours, and it went for 6 hours, and it went for 10 hours, and it went to the next day, and it went into, or now it's going into the second day, and I'm on my knees. God, where are you? And I was horrified. I was terrified. God, if your presence is not restored. And I don't understand it all. I'm just telling you what happened to me. And I just felt what it was like to be when his presence was departed. And it made me cleave to him so desperately like I never have. And I don't ever want to be there again. And when I see myself in that, I want to run back and just cleave to him and say, God, be merciful to me. I need you, God. And as Moses was sharing there, he just saying, Lord, an angel. We can't go with that. But then as you look in Exodus 33, the Lord promised that I'll go. And he would have mercy. And there in Exodus 33, and we're going to have to wind up here, but as you look there, then he says in verse 11 that, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend, and he turned again to the camp. There's repentance going on. Joshua's in the tabernacle. The people are broken. They've seen what they've done. They've heard the words of God and his holiness. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way that I might know thee. Show me your way that I might know thee and that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, if your presence doesn't go, carry us not up. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then he goes on to say, I beseech you, show me your glory. And we know the glory and the power of God, that he couldn't even abide under that presence, and he's hid in the cleft of the rock. And the Lord passes before him and proclaims all of his nature and comes in that glory cloud and says in Exodus 34 and verse 6, Lord God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth-keeping mercies for thousands, forgiven iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us in for your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all the people, and I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people which are thou art, and shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Wow. Where did that power come from but a heart's cry that was desperate for the glory of God, for the name of God? That God's glory would be demonstrated to the nations. And that's what his ordained will, as we read early on, that you would be separated from all the peoples of the earth. And And so we've seen then it came out of a heart that longed for His glory and that cried out, God, show me Your glory. And when He showed him His glory, He reveals His nature, and Moses embraces that. And God says, now You've known Me, and now I make a covenant with you, and I'll show you signs like you've never seen before. And I believe God wants to renew that covenant in our minds. And if we can come with that desperate plea and heart's cry and that desire to not be on those outer courts, not just be content to visit that brazen altar and that lavern, and not even just content to make some prayers and intercessions for our loved ones and some worship, but I want to get into the holiest of all. The secret of His presence. I want to press all the way into that intimacy with Abba Father and with the Holy One of Israel, with El Elyon, Adonai, El Shaddai. I want to know Him. I want to love Him. I want to commune with Him. And I just want His heart to melt my heart and my heart to become His heart. And I'm in Him and He's in me. And when I walk forth, it's not I, but it's Christ that's living in me. And it's the Father that's working, and it's not about me, it's about His glory and what He wants to demonstrate in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when God spoke that I'm going to find those sons of Zadok that I'm going to draw near to Me. And those that don't want to keep My charge, they can stay out there in those outer courts in Ezekiel 44, but I'm going to bring these close to Me that are jealous for Me in My courts, and they're keeping the doors of their heart from the predators of His holiness. And all the vexed, they're guarding the courts of the holy place in our hearts and in here corporately, but it begins in our hearts before God. And we're not allowing the unclean, and we're not allowing the uncircumcised, and we're not allowing the vexations of the world and its wickedness to rob the sanctity. And yes, we will visit that brazen altar. And yes, we need that lavern. And yes, we need that incense and that shewbread. But then I want to know that intimacy, that secret of the Lord that is with those that fear Him. I want to know Jehovah God and the fullness of His presence. And when you know Him, you will know power. Because power belongs to God. And it's high time for us to not, this weak, impotent church that doesn't know the true power of God, because they don't know God. They know doctrine. They know knowledge. They know methodology. But that's not going to bring the manifestation of the power. And I'm tired of cheap imitation. If we're going to bring a cheap imitation, just shut the doors of this temple. Amen. That's not, we've got tons of that. We don't need another one of that. We want His holiness. I want His heart. I want His ways. And I believe there's a longing in many of you in this room. And I just would to God for any of us that have allowed that the unclean to begin to come in. And it's time to start marking well again what's coming in and begin to clean up these courts and not just be content to be on the outer realms but just to get into the center of Father's heart and whatever it takes. I'm tired. I know what these things do to attract my heart. I know what these besetting sins are. But I can't, whatever I've got to do, my heart is in my right hand. I want You, God. And I count all this but dung again, afresh and anew, that I might know You. And I want to be able to love You more than these. Amen. Father, we thank You tonight for Your presence, Lord. And Father, we long for, Lord, to know Your presence, to see Your face, O God. And Lord, You know that we're mortal flesh, we're of the dust, God. And how this world, Lord, and this body of sin is so attracted, and the deceptiveness of our own hearts, that only Your Holy Spirit can help us, Father, to keep ourselves unentangled. with any other source but you. You will have no other gods before you. And so, Father, we desperately cry out, Father, help us to press into the holiest of all. We have such riches untold, Father, that are available. But God, just give us the heart to seek you with our whole heart. And you promised we would be found of you, Lord. So Father, just help us to awaken, Lord, from a contentment. Lord, you said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We can't neglect it, God. How can we have such great salvation and neglect it? Such riches untold, such joy unspeakable and full of glory. So Father, stir our hearts and just give us a passion for the holiest of all again. And as we're in your presence, that we'll behold you and we'll be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there would be true freedom. Freedom of your power. Freedom of your glory. Freedom of the demonstration of the face of Jesus Christ in these clay vessels. That is our heart's plea and cry, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're merciful and long-suffering. Lord, help us to know you face to face again. Change us in your presence, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. We believe you hear our cry, Lord. You answer, and we rejoice in it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb of God. Work it in us, Father. Hallelujah. Stir us up, my God. Stir us up, O God. Hallelujah. We worship you. Praise be to your name, my God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. I just encourage you in the days ahead, take time in the presence of the Lord and just really ask the Lord to examine you. Not trying to do something, but asking God to work it in you. And just where is that secret place of the Most High in your life? Have you really been pressing in and just believing as we encounter Him and cry out, He's going to change us and we're going to walk away full of the power of His presence. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. We're so thankful for what the Lord has done today. We just encourage you to keep looking to Jesus. Thank God for each and every one of you. Your lives are just such a testimony. I was in prayer this morning and wonder with I was just kind of seeing Sister Ann and thinking of the stories of Pastor Rob's mom and so many others that have gone before us. But I was just thinking of Sister Ann and thinking, man, you talk about someone in the banisters of heaven saying, fight the good fight. Because what is up here, just the eternal bliss of what awaits us. Let's fight the good fight. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, look at the person next to you and say, get out of the outer courts into the holiest of all. Amen. God's love and God's grace be with you.